So we're in our sermon series and our life groups, and we have 3 weeks left of this sermon series and 3 weeks left of our life groups. The title of our sermon series is called, And They Were Filled. And it's a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. Week one, we said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Greater is he who is in you. Week three, we talked about the Spirit of truth. Week four, the Spirit of life. Week five, you will receive power. Could you use some power in your life? And this past week, we had this interesting illustration. It was drawn by the light. And I tried to get out the door, but it didn't work out too well. And this week, we're talking about gifts for a purpose. Gifts for a purpose. And this is an interesting sermon, because here I stand in a church that is truly a non-denominational church. We have some that come from more of a conservative slant and others that come from a more charismatic bent. And it's an interesting thing that God is doing in our church, because really, we're not going to stay together very long if he's not the center of our fellowship. And frankly, we could all be Pentecostals or all, you know, Reformed theology and all whatever, Presbyterian or all whatever. But if he's not the center of it, we're just going to continue to have a mess in our church. So let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul's writing this church in Corinth, and they are infants in the faith. But they are flourishing in spiritual gifts. They're speaking in tongues. There's prophetic utterances. There's all of these things that are taking place. But there are divisions and fractions that are happening as well. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says this to this young Corinthian church. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. I do not want you to be unaware." Now, I think he says this because the spiritual gifts are gifts given to God to his people for works to edify the body, to draw men to him, an evidence of the word of their testimony. He doesn't want them to be ignorant, but some of the gifts that were being used in an improper way. So he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Unaware. We live in a day and age where there are all different ideas of how the gifts of the Spirit are exercised. Some will even say that they've ceased. The Holy Spirit's action and movement and manifestation in this world, it no longer exists. This is not my view at all, and it's not the view of our church. But also, we don't want to be ignorant. Some versions say ignorant, some say uninformed. The New American Standard Bible says unaware. We should not be uninformed about the nature and the purpose of these spiritual gifts. Instead of spreading myself too thin this morning, I'm going to pick out a couple of key passages. And what we're going to talk about is how these gifts are used for a divine purpose. I find a lot of times if we're just doing and shooting off the hip and we have a shotgun approach to something, what happens is you find in your life that you hit nothing. So, you know, you have goals and you have vision. Like even the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You got to know kind of where you are going to know if you're hitting the mark. What is the purpose of the spiritual gifts? And I think this is a very foundational thing that we need to understand. So there's a lot of things I could talk about with spiritual gifts. But today I'm talking about how these gifts are given to us for a divine purpose. How should we approach spiritual gifts? We know that there are multiple array of gifts that are mentioned in Scripture: prophecy, interpretation of tongues, teaching. There's wisdom, there's knowledge, there's healings, there's miracles, there's gifts of mercy, and even gifts of administration. How many of you guys here have a gift of administration? No, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Not very sexy. Thank you. It's not, though, right? But it's so important that I notice that it's a gift of administration. You know, I'd like another gift, God. You know, maybe I can be like a prophet that has like that white hair from like Gandalf, and the wind can hit me, and you know, maybe I can buy a nice linen robe and all that. But God has given gifts for a purpose. He's given you that gift for a purpose. Don't be unaware. I really believe that one of the reasons that God gives gifts is not to only speak to the word as a testimony, signs and wonders, but also the gifts are given to make disciples, the Great Commission. Not only gifts are not just given just to bring people in, but also to build them up. We are doing what we can do to strengthen the faith of the people around us. Are we doing that? Are we doing what we can do to strengthen the faith of the people that are around us? And I think it's a challenge. One, there's two problems with spiritual gifts right off the get-go with the church. Is one, a lot of us are unaware of spiritual gifts or even what gift that we have. And a second problem, I think, is a lack of desire to use whatever gift God has given you for His purposes, for His body, for His plan, to strengthen someone else's faith. I believe so many times that we're so me-centered that we're not even aware, or do we want a gift that is you-centered, or they-centered, or God-centered, or Christ-centered. We're always looking at our benefit and not the kingdom. So I think that's a problem. Let me ask you this. Do you wake up in the morning and thank God for what He has done in your life? Salvation, that's a big thing. If anybody ever asks you, you know, do you have a testimony? Man, you should have a testimony. Any Christian that walks with God does not have a testimony. You're unaware. You need to rethink and examine your life because you have something to be thankful for every single day. Every single day. We should wake up every single day with the joy of the Lord and saying, Lord, you know what? This circumstance, you know, my car's broken down. Oh, poor me. I got two others in the driveway. My car's broken down. I remember, I get like that. I get the mopes. I got the mopes. But you know, I was thinking one time when my car broke down and I started getting mopey, I had to really examine my spirit and say, this is not of God. His blessing and love and care for me is not determined on the car that I drive. There's something wrong with me, not Him. He's my provider. And just the fact that I have a car that I can actually fix, or I can, you know, I have a problem. Thank you for that problem. If this is the worst of all my problems, I'm pretty blessed. Sometimes life is just looking at things how God sees them. But do we wake up each morning thanking God for what He has done and is doing in our life currently today? Do we say, Lord, how do you want to use me today? Whose faith do you want to strengthen today through the gifts that you have given me? Or is life about me? Who are you going to bring in contact with me, Lord? Thank you for the gifts that I have to encourage the body, or to encourage people in my place of work or my school. Do I even really care about my gifts? Am I really even thankful for them? You know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has a divine plan for your life. I believe that. I do believe that. But if you go through life as it's just an ordinary thing, and you don't see it from God's perspective, that you're living an extraordinary life, not only did a living God breathe air into your lungs and sustains you every single day, but he has saved you if you walk in him, you know in him, you trust in him. He saved you, and he's forever changed your place of eternity. That's a miracle, and you're walking in this daily. Daily. Are you thankful? So in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, this is the very first place in the New Testament that we see this term, spiritual gifts, used. It's going to be behind us right here. It's going to be in the New American Standard Bible. But it's Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We're going to stay here for a second. I think it's beautiful that not only does God save you, but he fills you with his presence, and he gives you gifts for life and service to him. He has a divine plan for your life, and he empowers you to carry out that plan. And no matter how insignificant you think that plan is, it's a plan that takes part in conjunction with what he's doing in the kingdom. His divine plan for all of humanity, you have a role to play in the body. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Writing to the church, Paul says this: "For I have longed to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, Verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." So in verse 11, where he says this little phrase here, impart some spiritual gift to you, if you were to break that down and translate it, it's misleading because it sounds like Paul wants to help them have a gift. If you touch me, then you're going to have this gift, that I'm actually the giver of the gift. But that's not what the translation does. The text actually says that he wants to give them the benefit of his gift. The benefit of his gift. What Paul's actually saying is I long to see you that I may be used and give my gifts to strengthen you, to encourage you. So if I have the gift of encouragement, I'm coming to you to use my gift, to impart it, to encourage you, to put courage into your life. Or if I have the gift of prophecy or tongues, whatever that is that I'm building up the body. I'm not the giver of the gift. This text teaches that spiritual gifts are for the strengthening of others. Gifts are to be given. The gifts that God has given you are not to be hoarded. He says this: "I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established." He wants these gifts to come and he wants to be with them so that they may be established. The gift is for others. It's to strengthen someone by this spiritual gift. These spiritual gifts, they're given by God, and they're intended to strengthen the faith of the other's life. This is the intent. Let's look at verse 12 here. Paul restates what he said in verse 11 in different words. He says, "I want to strengthen you with my spiritual gift." He says this: "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." He does two things here. He looks forward to the encouragement that they will receive from each other, both Paul and them. He says that this way, he will strengthen their faith by their spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are intended to strengthen one's faith. And how does he do this? It's by encouraging them with his faith. Verse 11, he aims to establish or to strengthen them. And in verse 12, he wants to encourage them. So in verse 11, he wants to strengthen or establish them. And in verse 12, he wants to encourage them. And that's really what the body does. And this is what happens when we get together and these various gifts that have been poured out into all of this fellowship is to encourage and to strengthen one another. You have a role to play in the church. A spiritual gift is the expression of faith which aims to strengthen one's faith. It's an expression of one's faith. God is working through you in faith, and it's going to strengthen someone else's faith, and yours, by the way. When you understand that you're a vessel and you see God using, you know, your gift of administration, whoa, that was powerful. But you get encouraged with the things that God has gifted you with, especially when you see it as a gift from Him. But there's a difference between natural abilities and spiritual gifts. Unbelievers have plenty of great abilities like teaching, administration, worship, music, whatever. These abilities are God-given. I think all men are created in the image of God, and He has gifted people. But they're not spiritual gifts. They're not spiritual gifts. Our faith in the promise of God is the channel through which the Spirit flows on His way to strengthen the faith of someone else. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. If we're not relying on God and not aiming to help others to rely on Him, then our ability is not a spiritual gift. What's happening is not a spiritual endeavor. So let me put it this way. I was thinking about this. Paul had an issue with a lot of modern-day pastors in his day, right? First century. And he talks about all of these different ministers and people that have the gift of teaching. And they're speakers and they're pastors. And he says that these people that minister, and I'm sure there's a specific group that he's thinking of, but these people that have ministered, that they're doing it for sordid gain. That the whole purpose that they're doing in sharing this word of God is for personal gain. Personal gain. And I'm sure these people are very eloquent. We've seen a lot of people that have eloquent speech and great talents. But the idea of a spiritual gift is a gift that is given by the power of the Holy Spirit that brings and increases faith in Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He always draws people back to the Father, back to Christ, not to the speaker, not to the musician, not to the missionary, not to the person that has the gift of administration. All is done, all of these gifts are exercised to the glory of God. The glory of God. So there is a difference between someone's natural abilities and spiritual gift. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Romans chapter 2, or 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So he marks all of these different gifts. I want to draw your attention to just a couple things real quick. I believe that this text doesn't want us to get caught up in being identified by a spiritual gift. You know, there's people that have found their identity in a gift or a calling that God has given them. Your gift and your calling is nothing. It doesn't supersede your place that you have in Him. You are a child of God. You're not defined by a gift. The gift is given to draw you and others to Him. He is the end result, the goal, the high calling. And you're not limited just to having one gift. He gives as He sees fit. Look at verse 8. Look at these gifts. Encourage, giving, lead, which means giving aid or presiding, and show mercy. The remarkable thing about these gifts is that believers are called to do these in general, to encourage one another, giving, leading, showing mercy. These are things that should be normal in the life of a believer. So the gift must be that some are enabled by various, what's the word I'm looking for? He says that the measure that He pours out on you. And I think that's important that we recognize that it's the grace that's poured out. There is a measure of that gift that is poured out to each of us. But the reality of these gifts is that they're all, that when we have these gifts, that we're in danger of pride. And this is the problem of Corinth, and perhaps even the Roman church, is that they had a tremendous amount of pride. So, the gifts. You know, I was thinking about this, and I think it's so easy for us to just look at these gifts and say, you know, I don't know if I have this gift. I don't know what my gift is. Scripture is very clear in Corinthians that we should seek these gifts. That every gift from God is a good thing, and that we should seek these. And the reality of our life is that we need a God who transforms, that interacts in this world, in this life now, today. And I want to share a story with you, and I don't know why I want to share this, but I'm going to do it. So I got a phone call when I was in Alabama from a friend of mine. He was the worship pastor of our church, and he had just resigned, and he gives me a phone call late at night, and he says, hey, Jake, there's a family that lives down the road. You don't know them, but they want us to come over, and they're having some problems with their daughter. And I'm like, okay. And they say, do you know anything about demonology? Do you know anything about demons? Do you know anything about evil spirits? And I go, yeah, I do. I do. And so he says, well, we want to go over there and pray and lay hands on her because she is just going crazy. And they think that she's demon-possessed. And all I know is that the Holy Spirit, God, is able. And I believe that evil spirits are real. I do. I believe that the devil is real. I believe that there is an eternal place for those who believe in Jesus and an eternal place that do not believe in Christ. It's real. And so many times we live in this world that is flesh and blood that we omit. We don't want to talk about the things that are spiritual. We're much more comfortable as believers living in this fleshly realm and interpreting our life through the spiritual realm. And so all I knew before I went over there is man, I remember the seven sons of Sceva, and I'm not running out of that house butt naked. True story. So if you don't know that story, you got to read it. It's funny, but it's a true one. So, is it hot in here? Can you turn the AC down? No, just it's really hot. I don't know if it was me or you. So, I just started praying. And I went to my prayer shower and I prayed. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, I don't know what I'm walking into. And I prayed. And I don't know these people. I'm not affiliated with them. I don't know anything about them. And I just prayed. And I said, don't pick me up for at least an hour. I just need to, you know. And so I prayed. I got a couple of words from God in the shower. And I didn't know what they meant. And so I went over to this house. And lo and behold, it's this big, beautiful house. It's a Brighton house. These people got it made. I mean, they're made. I mean, it's a nice big house with nice cars in the driveway. You know, usually the demonic, you know, they tend to stay away from the rich people, right? Because, you know, they got it all together. You know, they got it all together. They're not the hokey pokey, you know, Pentecostals, whatever. So I go in there, and these people are distraught because they've been dealing this with for years with their daughter. And, sure enough, man, this girl, it was not an act. These people were in their mid-50s. This is a teenage girl, and this girl is just convulsing and just all kinds of stuff. And I'm just, you know, of course your flesh is a little freaked out, you know, but I'm prayed up. And one of the words that God gave me in the shower was that you got to tell him to leave. And I'm thinking, like, when I was going, I was thinking, well, there's if this person truly is, you know, has some sort of demonic oppression or manifestation going on, then that's what he's talking about. But no, that wasn't it. There was this guy in the house. And I was like, and I walked in there and I just like, who is this guy? And for some reason in my spirit, I didn't know anything about this family. And I, you know, most people would say, well, this girl's brother. But I didn't feel that way. I said, who is this guy? When I walked in the room, this guy was a problem. Something was going on. And, you know, and I'm not overly, that's not me. You know, usually I'm a person of reason. And if I can try to find a reason, I'll find it. If I can find it. But this was clearly what was going on. And I knew that, you know, I said, you know what, you have got to leave this house right now. And I had no idea who he was. I didn't ask him who he, you know, it just was just, you have got to leave. And then all of a sudden we just started praying for this girl. And just praying for deliverance, praying that God would do whatever in her life. But in hindsight, we realized when we left that this girl had this soul tie to this older guy. And, you know, I don't know what caused this or what took place, but the enemy had a hold in her life. And this is a family that went to church. This is a family that had it going. Everything was nice and tidy, and life was good. And this is not something that they would just want people to have. They weren't weird people. But what was happening and manifesting in that house was real. And we prayed, and we prayed for deliverance. And as far as I know, she's experienced freedom. But when I came in there was something very tied to this young man. And the Holy Spirit was very clear before I even went there. I did not even know their name. I don't even know their name today. I met them one time. It was that night. And it was very clear that there was a soul tie or something going on between those two. And I told the parents that. But the reality is that all of our lives, we need, because of our flesh, we need deliverance. We need the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, because we are fallen in our flesh. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you live your life in the natural, then you know what? You'll never see the supernatural take place in or through you. And so these gifts are given for a purpose. Another thing I want to point out in this text, Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This is the first time I've ever shared this story in a small group or in a church setting, ever. My wife knows it because she was there when I got the phone call. Sam may have known it. Were you there? Sam was there with us. Okay. But I don't talk about that story. And the reason why is that these gifts are given when the Holy Spirit is working in a situation or a circumstance. These gifts are given not to bring you glory, but to give Him glory and to bring deliverance and power in other people's lives. This was not what was happening in the Corinthian church. They were becoming someone because of their status, because of their tongues, because of their whatever. So not only did the gift, but it's about the measure of faith. We have to exercise that gift. Is the gift from God? He gives a measure of faith. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. God distributes the faith and the gift. This is very important. God distributes the faith and the gift. Stay humble. It's not by your power. The gift doesn't define you. God defines you. But you should seek the gifts. You should seek the gifts. Who's here ever seen a healing before? Okay. I've seen a healing. We have this lady in Mobile, Alabama. She's a pastor's wife. She was in a wheelchair for like 15 or 20 years. And you know what? There was a gathering of Christians downtown Mobile in this convention center, and people would come. Some of us in this church, we probably wouldn't go there because they're a little, they were charismatic now, guys, okay? They're a little out there. They were. But the one thing that I really love and I see in different disciplines of faith is the aspect of faith exercised. And regardless if you understand or believe in their theology, let me tell you one thing. That lady is walking today. She's walking today. So you could say, well, I don't agree with their theology. I don't agree with the practice or the manifestation of their theology. But I know one thing. This lady was not able to walk for 15 to 20 years. I can't remember how many. And she is walking around Mobile. This is not some woman that just showed up and no one knew her. This was a prominent woman in that community that is walking. So you can disagree with theology and argue about theology all you want. But that woman, she didn't need your theology. She didn't need my theology. She needed a living God that can say, woman, get up and walk. We serve a living God. We serve a living God. And you have got to be open to all the power and the measure of His fullness in your life. And you know what? The Bible is full of uncomfortable scenes. If you were a disciple of Jesus Christ and He's casting out a demon, you would probably feel a little uncomfortable about that. I don't know if I could hang with Jesus, right? Throwing mud on a blind guy's face, like, I don't know. Spitting. Faith is not according to the natural. It's directed and comes from the Spirit of the living God. And if He tells you to spit, then you spit. He doesn't require you to know. And I don't know why He did that way. I don't know why it took 15 or 20 years for that woman to walk. I don't know why He decided to part the Red Sea the way He did. I don't understand why He didn't have a Chick-fil-A instead of manna in the desert. I think some of these absurd things that you see in Scripture in the manifestation of His presence and power in someone's life is to draw us to no other conclusion but Him. I really believe that. If people can look at your life and get confused with God's effort from your effort, then something may be wrong. The Holy Spirit, He is a distinct person in power in the Christian's life. I think one of the things that we should ask is for more faith in our life. He distributes that faith. And you know what? Despite, you know, what systematic theology textbook you've read, what I would do is what I would encourage my non-denominational church to do, is just say, Lord, I am yours. And however you want to equip me with the gifts, whatever gift it is that you want to give me, or how you want to manifest that in my life, or what you want to do in me, I am an open slate. I don't want to approach your throne with a preconceived notion of how you're going to respond and act in my life. I really believe that we need to learn how to die well. That's why he says, don't think too highly of yourself. It's him. The last portion of scripture I want to look at is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And I believe this is very important. I love this portion of scripture. You know, you start hearing about manifestations and you get very uncomfortable. You start hearing about the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of us are like, I want the gift of administration. I don't want to be Peter and say, like, walk on the water. I'm okay with you, you know, just being a really smart guy and just, you know, being able to administer real good. But it doesn't really matter what you want, right? He is the Lord, we're the servant. The question is what is he calling you to do? And how is he going to build your faith up? And what is he going to do through your faith and through your obedience? So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, it says this. I'm going to stop at verse 10. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards in the manifold grace of God. The first thing that I notice right here is that each one of us has received a special gift. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, meaning that you have the Spirit of God in you, and you're going to say that you don't have a gift, that is a lie. It's not true. You have a gift. God has equipped you with a gift. Now, I do believe that gifts are developed. I do believe that God can equip you a certain way, wire you a certain way, but he's going to do that. But you have a special and unique gift or talent that is made especially for the kingdom work. It's not made just for your work. It's not made to puff you up. It's something that you should not boast in, but something that is specifically made for the work of the kingdom. You have a part to play in God's divine revelation to humanity. And it's in this world. We're not called to believe and wait till the day he comes and we're going to be in heaven. And until then, I'm on loan to the world. That's not the way it works. He's got a divine plan, has given you a gift for that divine plan, and has given you that power for that gift to unfold in this world for his glory, to build others up in him. And as you labor and work in your gift, God will build you up. You up. Each one has received a special gift. Every believer has abilities which the Holy Spirit has given to be used to strengthen others. I really believe that we should have a desire to be God's instrument in bringing about the faith of the world. We should have a desire. But you know what? A lot of us, what happens is that we get so concerned about my gift, my place, my whatever, and it all becomes about me. And loathsome, like, oh, well, I have the gift of administration. You know, I don't know how to use this. I guess I'll just go be a CPA somewhere. Whatever that is. But no, you have a gift for the kingdom. You have a gift for the kingdom. The second thing that I see is that we're to employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Employ it. Gifts are to be employed, to be released. You have to use and allow your gift to be released in serving one another. Serving one another. Do you see yourself as one who serves the body of Christ? Seriously. And everyone can do this. Just be an encourager. How about that gift? Be an encourager. Do you serve one another with encouragement? And then here, you know, it says, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Grace is the currency in the household of God. We are called to be stewards of grace. Look at this word, stewards. This gift has been given to you to be a steward, and it brings grace. Stewards. So now we have another definition. They are the spiritual gifts are the abilities by which we receive the grace of God and disperse that grace to others. You're a steward of that. This fits with the earlier definition. A spiritual gift is the ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively in word or deed for strengthening of someone else's faith. So let's look at the word indeed. Verse 11. Whoever speaks is doing so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So in verse 11, he says, whoever speaks and whoever serves. This grace can be distributed through gifts which are word-oriented or deed-oriented. There are gifts of service, gifts of encouragement, word, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, gifts of healing. Word-oriented, you know, I was thinking and praying about this, and I think a couple of things that I wrote down is, do not rely on your own sight. And the reality about the word-oriented is that, you know what, we live in a day and age where people need a word, not from me, not from you, but they need a word from God. They need a word from God. And these are people that are struggling day to day that you know. They need a revelation. They need a word from a living God that can penetrate their hearts. And that's only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. They need a word from God. I need a word from God. You need a word from God. Indeed oriented. These are practical deeds of service in and outside of the church. The reality of these people, though, is that sometimes it can be a challenge to do it on your own strength. It's not done in your own strength. It's a spiritual gift. Gifts of service are a spiritual gift. I wonder if we do gifts of service. Do we serve? If we're somebody that is service-oriented or deed-oriented, if they have something like a spiritual gift that is an act of service, I wonder, do we rely more on our own physical gifts or do we do this unto the Lord? Have you ever done something physically that maybe you could have done by your own power or strength, but maybe it's just the heart in which you do it? Have you ever experienced that? So the scenario that I thought of in Scripture is in the Old Testament, actually, when they built the tabernacle. You have all these men and these people that are bringing, these Israelites are bringing all these gifts and tithes and offerings to build the temple. And God says, whoever's heart is moved. He didn't want anyone else's offering. He said, only those whose heart is moved for my house. And so then it says that the Holy Spirit came upon, I think it was three people by name. And then they had a crew of people that worked with them that actually constructed the tabernacle. But it says that the Spirit of God dwelt on them, and they gave them wisdom as they worked. It's pretty powerful that the work of your hands, if it's done in the name of God, and all of these gifts that you have, it's a spiritual gift. It's a holy thing. And that the work of your hands can be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But it has to be done unto Him. Unto Him. Romans chapter 11, verse 36, it says this. Well, actually, 1 Peter verse 11, I'm sorry. The ending of this, it says, that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. All of these things, the word-oriented or the deed-oriented gifts, you know, no matter how supernatural they seem to you or how natural they are, these gifts, every single one of them has, every single one of us has a gift, and everything should be done to glorify Jesus Christ. So if you're one who prays in tongues, don't pray in tongues so you be glorified by man, but do it in a prayer closet. But if you're one that works with your hands, do it unto God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. God has created you, and you are fearfully, wonderfully made, and you have all of these gifts that He wants to utilize for His kingdom. And they have an eternal impact. But they're to be done to glorify Him through Christ Jesus. Romans 11:36, it says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him all things, to Him be the glory forever. Amen." There are a lot of things that we could talk about with spiritual gifts. But the main point I wanted to walk away today was that these gifts are given for a purpose. And it's a kingdom purpose. I've seen a lot of people that are very comfortable with the gifts, and they make much about themselves. I'm a prophet. I'm a worship leader. I'm a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I'm an apostle. I'm a bishop. I'm the Pope. But the people, the world, needs a word from a living God. A living God. And the reality is that all of these gifts are given for a purpose, to build up His body and to draw men to Himself, that He will be glorified. And He distributes these gifts. You're not defined by these gifts. At any time, God can use you. If He can use a donkey to give a prophetic message, He can use you anywhere in the world. And you're not limited to a gift. When we're open to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we're open to whatever He wants to do at any time. And that may be scary. You may have reservations. But what I say is that we should be open to the fullness of God in our life. Allow Him to rule and allow Him to use you and work in you and through you. And it's going to bring Him glory, and it's going to bring people closer to Him. And that's the purpose of the gifts. So, I mean, we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks on all the different gifts. But I just wanted to share a little bit about what is the purpose. He's drawing men back to Himself. He's being glorified. People are coming to a saving knowledge even in this place. People are being healed here, like Joel says. These gifts are for today, for now. And one day they'll be no more. Today is the day to walk in Him. Today is the day of new life. Today is the day of the full measure of His Spirit in our life. And you know what? The first thing we need is a full measure of His faith. He's going to distribute that to us. But seek, act, knock, ask. It's going to be open. Amen.